On this could...
All right. How you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing good. I'm hanging in there. Like I said, running a tad bit behind, but I feel like everyone is these days doing one thing.
It's tough to keep up. I was researching you a little bit earlier. I saw you did some time in South Carolina.
Yeah.
What part of South Carolina?
I was in Myrtle Beach for like 4 or 5 years.
Oh wow. Did you go to Coastal?
I did.
Nice. Okay. We just went up there for Emily's birthday. My fiance Emily was out there for her birthday. I'm in Charleston.
Oh, sick. Yeah, actually my buddy who I live with now in Nashville, who I write with, just moved from Charleston. He was there for like 2 years, so his name is Justin Elko.
The name sounds
He's
familiar.
over in like James Island area.
That's where I was born.
That's crazy.
We got a few people from Charleston up in Nashville right now. I don't know if you've met Jerry Jacobs by chance. He writes and plays with Chase McDaniel.
Okay.
Faith Schuler's up there. Haley Mae Campbell is from Charleston. She's up there. She's had a nice little career so far. But
Yeah, South Carolina ties. I mean, last night I had a write over here at my the home studio, and literally everyone here had there had lived. There was four of us, and we had all lived in North or South Carolina for a couple years. So it's like we had a little Carolina vibe. But apparently, Carolina
nice. I was
broad.
even more excited for this once I saw you're from South Carolina. I was like, all right, I know we're gonna get along great.
Yes, sir.
Y'all got a good sports program down there.
Yeah, it's been picking up. I mean, between the baseball winning the World Series and the College World Series in 16, and that we had like back to back damn near undefeated seasons in football when I was a junior and senior. So that was cool. It was cool to be like around when it started turning up. Like,
Yeah, and you're 24, right?
25.
25, okay. Because I'm 32. When I was reading your biopic, it was funny because it was like reading it like Cody Johnson, Morgan Wallen inspiration. I was like, damn, I was like, because for me, I grew up, like they were coming up when I was younger. So for me, I wasn't a kid when they were,
Yeah.
big, but for you, they were, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I'm getting
Yeah.
old.
I mean, so like those, they were still, I would say like who I listened to when I was younger was more of like a Rascal Flatts type,
Dude, yes.
Rod Atkins, those kind of guys, Tim McGraw, Kenny Chesney. But when I got into making music, it was right around the time that those guys were really popping and mainstream. And so it was like just as far as the influence goes, it was a lot of that Morgan Riley code, like all the blend of all that.
And what about them did really kind of grabbed you?
Morgan, as far as like an artist goes and like trying to be creative, the way that he incorporates so many melodies into his like the melody switches in his verses and then into the choruses, and the way that it continues that energy is so like, I don't know. It's just he's obviously broken into the scene in like his own way. And so that's what stuck out for him to me. But like Riley Green, the storytelling, Cody Johnson, the storytelling, they've got such a good way of like portraying that picture. So I think finding a way to blend those aspects together is kind of where I've steered myself.
Have you seen all of them live?
I haven't. No,
Dude.
I need to get on that.
Cody Johnson is so good live. The stories he tells was unbelievable. I haven't seen Morgan live, but Cody Johnson, I've seen him twice, and yeah, it's one of the best concerts I've ever been to.
That's good to hear. I need to go get there and see him.
Yeah, definitely need to see Cody. I would love to see Morgan. I'm getting to see Luke Combs next one. I'm actually super excited because Dan and Shay is one of my favorites, and they're coming to Charleston tomorrow. So I ponied up some cash, which is crazy how expensive tickets are these days. But I'm sitting like fourth row, I think, from the stage.
That's
I've never
crazy.
had that low before, but for Dan and Shay, I will absolutely fork up that kind of cash to sit to see them.
Yeah, they're great. And Luke Combs is another one too. I don't think he's in like, I don't know if I haven't read my own bio in a long time, but I don't know if Luke Combs is in there, but he's like the fourth one that's like.
Yeah, it was I guess what I was reading about was an advertisement. Did you play at Carolina Country Music Festival?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. So in that article that I had read on, what year did you play there?
Not last year, but the year before.
24. Okay, so that's probably why I said you were 24 in it. Yeah, so what was I gonna say? I don't remember what I was gonna say.
All good. Something about Luke Combs.
Oh, yes. I remember. Yes. Yeah. No, Luke Combs. They didn't list Luke Combs. They listed Riley Green for you, Morgan Wallen, and Cody Johnson. So,
yeah. I'd say Luke rounds out that four. He's got that kind of like country rock live drum feel that really fills it all out, which is nuts. Like, good. I just think that's like what makes music music is when it's all in sync and that loud gets big, the drums come in real hard, all that stuff. And Luke Combs has a grasp on that.
Well, I grew up more of a metalhead. Did you grow up listening to any like rock and roll metal music?
I was a lot. No, it was a lot softer. I have two sisters.
Gotcha. Boys.
Like, it was a little more mellow as far as the music we listened to.
Well, I find it interesting with today's music is because with YouTube and Spotify and everything, we all have access to so much music now. So we're influenced by so much. It's so hard to truly fit into one genre, I feel like, in today's times, because we all are into a little bit and you can pull a little bit from all different genres.
I agree. I think like that's another thing with the whole Morgan conversation is like you get him on like a four on the floor type or real country style song, and then you hear him doing these like Broadway girl style trap drums coming in. So it's like people have like a problem with it. I got no issue with it. Like, music's music. Like, make the song, put it out. If you like it, listen to it. If you don't, don't.
Yeah. Well, and you also have to be unique. I mean, if you look at every famous artist across all genres, there's something unique about every single one of the top performers in the world.
Yeah.
You just can't be a carbon copy. What do you feel like is unique about your music?
I'd say, I mean, to be honest with you, I feel like, which is something in the beginning I wasn't like a huge fan of, but I think now that I've really dove into it, it's become one of my favorite compliments. And it's like, I'd say the uniqueness of my voice. I don't feel like I sound cookie cutter like other people. I think you have a lot of people who, which is perfectly fine, like who just sound a lot like somebody else.
Yeah.
And I've never wanted that. So I'd say I like that part of it. I'd say like the storytelling, each song is, we really fight to get that story put together when we write. And so I think pairing the two of those is what's gotten me kind of rolling the way that I have in the past 12 months or so. So I say between those two things is what I kind of pocket myself in.
What do you think are important ingredients when you're writing, trying to make a good storytelling song?
I think it's always just like as quickly as you can, because like you'll go through the idea game and you'll throw, I got this idea, I got this title, I got this. I think as soon as you land on something that you like or the room likes, trying to tie that into something that either happened to you or happened to somebody in the room. Mm-hmm. Like, how could we really make it real world right here in this moment? And then once you write around that, the odds that if you've gone through it, the odds that somebody else has gone through it are real high. Yeah. So it's like, make it relatable in that moment to you writing it. And then once it's done and put together, it speaks for itself. So I really like that ever since I started writing up here in Nashville. That's what I picked out the most is watching these people and the way that they kind of tie it into the real world.
Yeah. It's key to make people feel something, whether you're doing acting, dancing, music. If you can make people feel something, no matter what the emotion is, because like, I don't know if your label told you anything about me, but I do a lot of dancing, and like I grew up watching WWE, and like when I was blown up on social media, I was like, okay, well now I want to make people feel something when they watch my videos, because when you watch WWE, it doesn't matter whether they like you or whether they hate you, and obviously I'm sure you don't want people to dislike you, but you probably want people talking about you, because even if you do have a unique voice, some people, like you said, are gonna say, hey, I don't like this. Some people are going to say, I do like it. But if you can get people talking, that you can really kind of grow.
Yeah, agreed. I think, and I say that all the time, is it's not possible for every single person who plays your music to like it.
No.
But it's not what it's about. It's just about putting it out there. And it, like you said, if they like it or dislike it, you've gotten it in front of somebody to be able to judge it. And at that moment, it's up to them. It's not really up to you anymore at that point. So I agree. Spot on. That's where the ego, you got to just kind of put that away. And
no, and you can't, and you know, I've said this with a lot of my friends who are artists, like it's great with social media now, but it's even tougher because there's so many different avenues to go about it. And like, yeah, you can have great music, but when you post on social media to try and get attention, you have to do something creative and also not just be a singer. You also have to be a marketer, and you have to try and be a great storyteller, not just with your songs, but also with, how you're presenting this to an audience on social media.
And I'll say that's one thing that I'd say as far as like it coming natural, that doesn't. Like I don't sit there and have a million ideas of how I can make something like in a 10-second video that like the short form content. It's just never really been I love the like artistry of it and sitting down and creating a song and creating something that didn't exist. But then me and my buddy were actually talking about it today. It's like it's crazy how much it's changed even in the last couple of years where it's like you've got to give somebody, in order to build that fan base, you have to give people something to grasp onto within 10 or 15 seconds that isn't just about the music.
In the song or the video on social media?
I'm talking about the video on social media, but even in the song too, like pick the best.
You have 3 seconds on social media to grab somebody's attention if they've never seen you before. 3 seconds.
Which is crazy. That hook has got to be, you got to get into it.
And you have to be posting multiple times a day, otherwise you're not going to get in the algorithm, you're not going to be in people's minds. And it's like, okay, well, what's the best way to go about this? Because we've seen some artists blow up on social media. We've seen others who, just go out there on the road and absolutely kill it and talk to people, and they grow a fan base that way.
I'd say I'm that's my biggest like gripe with myself is the consistency of my posting. I just don't like I sit there, I'm like, ah, how many times am I gonna lip sync my own song and just post it out there? And it's like that's what you have to do now. It's like there's no, I don't think there's any shame in being like, I spent so much time creating this. I can take a second or two and make a video or two videos a day and throw it out there. So that's honestly the biggest thing I'm gonna shift into.
Well, the best thing to do is, because it's a lot like songwriting, where some days you're going to feel better than others. So just go ahead and make a bunch on the days that you do feel like doing it, and then have those saved, and then just post it. I mean, and I just make a routine about it. Like, first thing I do, I post in the morning at 8 a.m. every single day. As soon as I get home from work, I post again. It's no different than, working out. It's something you have to do. Whether you feel like doing it or not.
That's, I mean, it's a great outlook to have. And like I said, something I definitely need to hear and get on. So that's my biggest thing. I think even I was talking to somebody about it yesterday. I was like, starting next week, like I'm just gonna stack videos this week and over the weekend and then get into a pocket where it's like twice a day, just get it out there. And then once like a, like you said, have stuff in the drafts, just continuously add to that and just and once again, like if it's supposed to reach the right people, it will. And
No, absolutely. And you never know what one thing is that people are going to see in the video, whether it's a lyric, whether it's a image, that just absolutely grabs them. And next thing you know, you're an overnight success.
yeah, exactly. And that's the crazy part too. That's a great little shift in topic is I could post a video tomorrow and it could get 5 million views and everyone's like he blew up overnight, but I've been making music for 3 years now, like seriously. And so that's a part of it that a lot of people don't see. And I'll admit, before I got into making music and you see somebody blow up, you're like, I've never heard of them before, so they must have just made it, but they've been doing it years and you have a new appreciation for the whole process of music
For
once you get in.
sure. A perfect example of that was when Nate Smith blew up. With his song Whiskey When You Came Out, and it hooked me. And then I started going into, Spotify and everything, and I was like, he's put out a lot of good songs like for years before this. Which is why, like with artists, you guys just have to put good music after good music, because you never know when people are going to find you. They could find you in a year, they could find you in 5 years. And then once that one song is out, they're going to go back and you're going to have that whole catalog, and they'll be like, well, damn, Matt's got like 5 really good songs that I absolutely love. Like, where have I been missing this?
And that's honestly a good way to like give credit to a platform like Spotify where I've got a song that I think it was my first song that I put out in 2022, and to this day it still gets like pushed out through Discover Weekly to people, to new listeners. And it's as far as like what we've put into that song was very minimal at the beginning, and it
Plug
just
yourself. Tell everybody which song.
it's called Dive Bar. It's
Dive Bar. Okay. I was gonna guess Richest Man I Know.
Yeah, that's the early one too. We actually have a new silver. version coming out way down the road when we do the project. But that, so Dive Bar night, I was just, I was in my, it was actually in South Carolina. I had a little like closet studio set up, and I had like, I had my Apollo twin and my TLM 102. And I just sat there and I set everything up and I was writing the song, and I had my buddy come over. We tracked the final vocals and I sent it out for mix master. And then there, it wasn't, didn't have any crazy traction for the first couple months. And then I posted about it a few times on social media. It started to get some click throughs. Mm-hmm. And then I was started adding it to like Discover Weeklies and radio, like similar artist type stuff. Yeah. And then it didn't have a couple hundred thousand streams now for just a song that I like made. And I was like, oh, that's a cool song. You know, let's put it out there. So it's a cool process. And Spotify, what Spotify does for artists is incredible. And if you really like dive into it there.
So for, my brother, he makes EDM music, and I know like, he'll send his songs like different playlists. Is that what you were doing also?
So Spotify, as far as like Spotify curated playlists, we got on for the first time as far as like an editorial. We got on two this past single, this single I dropped called Single This Summer. Okay. And it was added to Country.
I listened to that in the gym today.
I appreciate that. Thank
you. Very catchy.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that was actually the first song that I wrote with the Nashville guys, and we felt pretty good. It was like, all right, this is a good, like, upbeat summer country vibe. So we felt great about it, and it's been doing good. It's been out for like 2 weeks now, I think. So yeah, we're happy with it going.
Good song to be drinking while you're out on the boat, too.
Yeah, fair.
But are you seeing anybody, or are you single this summer?
No, I do have a girlfriend.
Okay.
That's actually is about her. And she's from the Northeast, so yeah. It was about this girl who like finds herself in this dive bar, and you meet and you hit it off. So
how yeah,
we? Just like how everyone in modern times does, social media, and came across each other, and just organically happened from there. It was a process like going through it, but it was, I feel like in today's day and age, it's more common than you think it is.
Oh, it's unbelievably common. That's how I was meeting a lot of girls whenever I was dating. But I was fortunate. I actually met mine in person on vacation. So
there you go.
And I'm getting married in a few months, and we've been engaged for almost a year now. It's
crazy. Dang.
How fast time is flying.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. It's so cool that when you meet the right person, it's crazy how, you know, you go through all these troubles, and then when you finally meet the right person, you're just like, okay, I understand why I went through all that, and you understand why this is the right time and the right person. And, you know, whenever you're growing up, you know, all your friends and your family, they're always telling you, oh, when you meet the right one, you'll know. And you're like, yeah, I'm sure. How do you know? And then when you finally meet that person, you're like, they were right. Like, you do know. You don't know how to describe it.
100%. And it's like an organic feeling of appreciation and respect for that person in a way that like, oh, this person fits.
Yep.
And so it's just one of those things where don't take it for granted. And it also makes for good content. It makes for good songs. And everyone likes a feel good song too. So not every song is some heartbreak thing. So things can inspire you in different ways.
Do you feel it? I mean, have you written a heartbreak song, or do you feel it is harder writing a heartbreak song when you're not heartbroken?
No, I think you can put yourself in the position either where you've been before.
Yeah.
Or the thought of losing the person that you're with now. Mm-hmm. I feel like you really put yourself in that artist mode, and you're just like, all right, let's spin this. And how would it feel? And how would I feel if I were to lose this person? Or how did I feel when I lost somebody in the past that I thought was so important to me? So, I mean, it just, plus I think I've got ideas like sitting on my hard drive of songs that I did write when I was single or was going through missing somebody. So you just pull from different stuff. I wouldn't say it's too difficult.
Do you ever sit in bed at night and wonder what would happen if that person did leave you?
I try not to be like pessimistic like that. I really only tap into it if it's like, if we're like trying to point a song in that direction. I'm not sitting there like, oh, what would happen? I'm just like, you can't really, you just be you and whatever it like you talked about.
Yeah,
what's going to happen is what's going to happen.
I'm very optimistic, but we're all human. Sometimes, you know, you lay in bed, yeah. Sometimes you get a bad day or whatever, and you're like, man, life would really suck if this person left. And then you just like spiral down that like hole, and you're like, I'm depressed as hell if this person left me.
Yeah, I get that. It's also one of those things too, where as far as like, in my mind, I've learned in life, Don't worry about stuff until it comes. That's a big mantra I've tried to employ in my own mind. And obviously at 25, it's easier said than done, but just like take things as they come to you, good and bad. Don't sit there and expect the best thing to happen to you. Don't expect the worst thing. Just live like you're living right now. And when it comes,
you have to accept life, and life, there's good and there's bad, and bad is always going to come to you. And the older you get, like you said, the easier it is to just realize to just take life as it comes, and you can control what you can control. And you know, when I was younger, I would spend all this time worrying about with this friend, if they, you know, if this was going to happen, or this girl I was dating, if this was, or that was going to happen. It's like, you can't control it. And the older you get, the easier it is to just be like, I can't control that. So I'm just going to focus on what I can control. And then when you start realizing these things, even with dating, or just business or anything, things that happened to me that hurt me in my early 20s, I had to go through that because something similar happened to me later on, and it prepared me for that moment to be successful as I got older. So like now when bad things do happen to me, they don't bother me as much because I'm like, okay, this is teaching me a lesson. I don't know what it is yet, but in the future, I'm quite certain I'm gonna figure out what this moment was teaching me.
Yeah. And I think too, with that kind of stuff, we kind of touched on it briefly earlier, but like letting your ego go. And that's part of it too. Is like, you don't want to be analyzing every what if this happens? What if that happens? What if people like this? What if people don't like this? And I just think it becomes, as you get older, it just becomes this fluid part of your life where you're just like, this is where I am in this moment right now. And I'm going to take advantage of what opportunities I do have and not harp on the ones I don't and try and go like.
And you kind of have to, in a sense, I mean, you want to stay true to who you are, but you also kind of have to just throw mud at the wall and kind of see what sticks when you're, you know, trying to make it. Because you don't know, whether you're a content creator or an artist, you don't know what people are going to respond to. So I'm sure you probably feel like you want to stay authentic to who you are, but you also have to try this and try that and see if people like hearing this from me.
Yeah. I think that's, like we talked about, that's something I haven't done enough of, is just throw stuff out and see and analyze and see what works and what doesn't work. I think, and I always say it, it's just a matter really of, I guess, taking my own advice, because when it comes to songwriting, I always preach, you got to make the bad songs to make the good ones. You have to hear a bad song you've made to know what a good one sounds like from you. You have to add piece of content to know what a good one is.
But the funny part is one of those songs that you think are a bad song might be the song that people just absolutely adore. Like, you know, I was doing a podcast with Chase McDaniel, and his song Project blew up last year, and it's got millions and millions of streams now. And I was like, well, when you wrote that song, did you know that, you know, had an idea that that song was going to, he goes, everybody that listened to that song, all of our friends, family, everybody, the label, they were all like, this is the worst one on the album. And didn't like it, but posted it online, and next thing you know, everybody just absolutely loved it. So he had no expectations. So you never know.
You don't know. And like you said, your friends and family saying, like, this sounds good, this doesn't. That's one thing that I'm super grateful for, is I have a good chunk of people who I trust as far as, like, I can send the songs out, especially when they're done.
Yep.
I know they're going out. I don't care as much. And I can be like, well, where would you put this one? Where would this one sit in, like, comparison to the other ones? And so I think that's really important, is having a group of people around you who you can trust to be honest.
Yeah. Well, who are those people for you?
Like I said, my buddy Justin, he writes with me a lot, so he kind of knows the process. All my other buddies too, I got some, I can just name them: Nick, Evan, Kyle, Connor. These are my boys who I'm just like, I'll play it for them, or if we're out on the golf course, or if we're like going on a road trip, or even just sending them off and be like, hey, I made this. It sounds pretty cool. And another thing about them is, like, they'll throw out ideas. Like, they're like, oh, like my buddy Kyle, one day I was going to the studio and he was like, oh, I had this idea for a song. And he kind of like spitballed the idea, like just one line. And I was like, all right, cool. And then on the way to the studio, I wrote it and like just kind of came up with some melodies in my head, then we wrote it there, and it's going to be on my album eventually when it comes out. So yeah, it was
how many like ideas do you put it all on your phone whenever they pop up, or do you have like an actual notepad you write on?
I have a notepad for like a guitar ideas, like if I'm gonna write something out, it's easier for me to just write it and then cross it out than it is like if I'm writing a strumming pattern with the arrows versus typing it on my phone. But as far as like song ideas and lyrics, shoot, I probably have like close to 300 on my notes app, just sitting there, and you forget about 90% of them.
Yeah.
So I got a pin note in my phone that's like what I think are the better ideas, and I just let those live there.
Nice. I love that. And that's one thing that I feel like I need to do better at, because it's been interesting on my side, because a couple years ago, a lot of my videos online of me dancing, doing country dancing in bars and ballroom and line dancing, they all started doing really well. Well, then TikTok starts paying you for 1 minute original video. So like, I can't use your song and make a video and get paid for it. I can on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook if I'm posting a short. But now all of a sudden I'm having to talk and, I'm trying to tell stories just like you do. And, yes. Sometimes you come up with great ideas, but I don't always write them down like I should.
Yeah. I mean, a funny thing that a lot of people do is, and I didn't know how common it was until I got into it, is like, there'll be a melody that'll randomly pop in my head. And I used to just do nothing about it. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. But
yep.
Like voice memo app, blah, 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 hum it, 15 second hum into the thing. And then
yeah,
let it live.
I was going to ask, I was like, is there an app for like artists that you can just like, let's just say, you're drinking with your buddies and then you pull out your guitar and you're like, hey, I want to remember this. To use a voice memo app?
Yeah, just the voice. The amount of scratch ideas that live in the voice memos in Nashville are, this is what I'll say too. There are some hits on these writers' phones that probably won't see the light of day, maybe ever, if not 5 years from now. That's something that's so crazy to me is, once I started writing in town, I was like, I got this. So, for example, this guy, David Ray, he's really successful. He's having a great run right now. He's got a couple number ones. He writes with like Jelly and all these like big name people. He's just that salt of the earth kind of guy.
Yeah, I was listening. I remember his name. Hardy dropped his name. He was on Burt Kreischer's podcast like a week or two ago. I listened to it. I was like, I knew that name. Sounded familiar to me.
And he's just like so down to earth, no ego, like we talked about, just a great guy. And one night I was over at his house and we were writing, and he pulls out his voice memo, just like ideas that he plays like maybe four or five that night. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, why aren't these cut? Like, who aren't? And he's like, oh, I just haven't shown anyone these ones yet. It's just like cool, like the amount of songs that are so good and almost ready to go that just live on these voice memos as ideas is so cool as a part of the process.
Yeah. Well, is there, when you moved to Nashville, what were your expectations, and has it lived up to those expectations? Has it been harder, easier? Tell me your experience.
I'd say it's lived up to it. I've only lived in town for about a month, but I've been flying in and out and writing here for the past.
Where were you flying in and out of?
Florida.
Oh, what part of Florida?
Tampa.
Nice. Okay.
What was that?
So I just went down to Tampa for the first time earlier this year.
I mean, it's
beautiful.
Yeah, I'll end up like when I want to like settle down somewhere, I think it'll be there, because I mean, I hate the cold. So
same. So you lived in, how long were you in Myrtle, and how long were you down in Tampa?
Yeah, I'll give you the whole breakdown because I bounced around a good bit. I was born in Maryland and moved to Rhode Island for a few years. My dad was in the Army, so this is why we moved around. I went to South Korea for a year and then moved to Virginia, then back and forth from Virginia to Rhode Island a little bit, then South Carolina for 4 years, 5 years, and then Tampa for about two, and then now Nashville. So
how do you like Nashville so far?
I love it. I mean, I didn't come here to like do the whole Broadway thing. I've gone out one time and it was with family who was visiting. So
Broadway is nuts, dude. I can't. It was fun, but it's something that I would only want to do like once a year.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like, the reason that we came was to make music and be in the thick of it. So like, what I love is just like, if there's a cool live band playing, like checking them out and having a beer for an hour and then coming back to the studio and then being inspired by that.
Yeah.
Like that's or then popping in, writing over at Warner Chapel, or writing with David, or Phil Mosley's another guy who I write with all the time, and or having them come here. It's just like whenever you want to write, you can. Whenever you have an idea, you just get after it and make it happen, which is really cool. Which is the coolest thing about Nashville, and the most talented people in the world live here. So,
yeah, iron sharpens iron. If you're not around people who are pushing you to do and be better, then you're never going to grow.
Yeah, 100%.
You feel like you have to live in Nashville to make it?
I wouldn't say no. I feel like that would discourage people who don't have either have the ability to move here or just currently don't. You can make it from anywhere. I just think like with where I'm at in my career and the amount of times I was coming into town to work with these made more sense for me. We'll say it speeds things up just because you learn a lot more. You're around a lot of more talented people, and it's very easy to find people that are better than you. Like you can, if say I'm in Tampa, I'd feel like I'm, you know, I'm like, oh, I can strum a few chords and sing a song and go up and be better than average. And then like you come down to Nashville, it's like everyone is good.
Yeah.
And so you want to get better, makes you want to learn and grow. And so it's just like it's cool. I wouldn't say you have to be here, but it's definitely helped me.
So has that discouraged you at all, or do you feel like it's encouraged you even more?
I'd say it's encouraged me even more. I grew up playing sports. I'm very competitive. And so in my mind, I'm like, all right, how quick can I learn this next step? And how quick can I learn this next step? And how I got to write a better song than my last one to it. So that when people hear it, and I think that's really like aided in my ability to just stick with it, I think. And I stuck with it, I think more so because I'm like, I know there's something that exists that I haven't unlocked yet.
Yeah.
And so I'm chasing that.
Yeah.
Rather than being, oh, my songs aren't great yet. If I thought that 4 years ago when I wrote my first song, I'd be like, like there's something there to chase. And I feel like we've gotten it now, and we're really happy with the way things are, and we've gotten this groove, and I feel real good about it.
It's such a weird thought process because or mindset, because you have to be confident enough in yourself to post, but you also have to be into, you know, put your music out there, but you also have to be self-aware enough to analyze all of it. And then the hard part is not to psychoanalyze yourself so much either.
Yeah. I think so, like with that kind of thing too, and that was really hard to grasp.
Yeah.
Who cares? Like genuinely, truthfully, honestly, who cares? Like what person out there exists that you'd be worried about seeing you? If what, and especially like someone in your shoes or my shoes, this is what I do like full time.
Yep.
And so if I do it every day and I still don't feel comfortable enough to just put it out into the universe, I probably shouldn't be doing it no matter what it is.
For sure.
And so you let go of that ego, you let go of that thing, and you just put it out there and let people like it, let people hate it. And you just, it's theirs at that point.
Well, I'm sure you probably feel the same way I do. I grew up playing sports too. I felt like doing sports growing up just prepares you for so much in life. And that's the way I attack business or anything else. I'm like, okay, like it's new to, what sports did you play?
Football and basketball.
Football and basketball. Okay. So perfect. I played basketball and football. So, you know, if you're playing football and you're not moving the ball down the field, you're like, okay, got to change the game plan a little bit. And it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You're writing song. You're like, all right, well, this isn't doing what I want. So what can I tweak here to get this to where I want it to go? And that's just the way I approach everything. And I just think it everybody needs to play sports growing up. Just, I think, prepares you so much for life.
You also learn how to, and like sports are one thing, and then team sports are a whole nother thing. Like, I think that has also allowed me to appreciate the people who have played a part in this. Like, I'm never like just solely an artist who thought that they had to do it by themselves. And just as cool if I have people writing with me or people help me out. It's like, that's what makes it like the amount of, in the same way that you can't win a football game without 11 people on that field, you can't really make it in anything in life if you don't have people around you that you trust enough to help you get where you're going, and then turn around and help them in what it is they want to do, you know?
That's something that I struggle with, because that's why I love golf so much. It's just, I had nobody to blame but me.
There is a thing about like the accountability. Like, so in football I played quarterback, so it's like a lot of the blame, or it's a lot of the pressure. So it's like, and having, being a part, but also wearing the accountability cloak
and to
is
be a
cool.
leader, because even if you know it wasn't your fault, if you're doing media afterwards, you have to take the blame for it. You're the quarterback. So, and you want everybody else to rely on you and trust you. And, might be that actually the wide receiver dropped that ball or ran the wrong route, but you're like, nope, that was on me. I threw a bad ball there.
There are times where you still, and you, even if you don't believe it, you're like, oh, come on now, that was not on me, but I'll wear it real quick.
You have to, and that's what good leaders do. And you have to do that now, because whether when you are playing up on stage, you're the leader, you're the quarterback. So everybody else around you, they're gonna do as you do.
I have a good little story on that. So I was playing this show and we were having some sound issues. We couldn't get, so I play with a full band, but we'll line in like keys. If we don't have a keyboard player there, we'll just line it in so that it fills it out. So we didn't have our backing tracks with like this pedal steel and the keys. So we would have just had to do it with a live band, which is no problem. But no one else in the crowd knows that all that it was supposed to be different. And they don't care if it was supposed to be different. They just want to hear the best show that they can hear. So in that moment, if things go south like they did, you just run with it. You got to, like we talked about, make it happen in a way that than you initially intended. So
For
I think
sure.
there are so many more synergies between sports and music and just life in general when it comes to that kind of stuff.
I don't know why this stuck with me so much, but as a kid, I grew up watching Gene Simmons' show, Family Jewels. And his son was playing, I think, bass or guitar in a band. And he looked at the band in the van before they went out there, and he's like, listen, if you play the wrong note or you mess up the song, you play that song on that note as if you meant to do that, and you do that to the best of your ability, and you go out there and you try and do your best. If you mess up, you mess up. And I was like, that's always stuck with me. I don't know why, but that has always stuck with me.
Because you're not going to be perfect every single time. That's why. Like he knew when he said that in the moment, he knew that at some point you're going to mess up.
For
Keep
sure.
it
Well,
rolling.
and that's what struggles with me with so many people that like I talk to. I just don't understand the thought process, because they're like, oh, well, I don't want to post this, this dance until I get it down fully, or I don't want to post, I started line dancing in bars, and then I start taking ballroom. Well, do I know how to waltz and tango and all that? Yes. Am I anywhere near a top tier professional? Not at all. But if I sat there and was like, oh, I'm not going to post this, until I have this waltz perfected, just living in that fear and that thought process just isn't a good place to live. But that's unfortunately what most people do. And I'm like, you're so afraid to put yourself out there, but you never know what you're going to learn until you put yourself out there.
My dad's got this quote that he's said to me my whole life, and it's perfect is the enemy of good enough. And if you're constantly chasing perfection, it's going to be you're going to be paralyzed by what's already good enough to put out in the world and let the world do what it needs to do with it. So I've
Absolutely.
tried to switch my on that. So, and there's a ton of stuff like you said earlier, one of the biggest things my dad also told me was control what you can control. So it's just like stuff, like little stuff like that along the way that can just be applied to this world is I'm super grateful for that as well.
I got a lot of quotes from my dad too.
Yeah.
One
It
of
just, that's kind of what that, that's what that, I actually wrote that song with my dad.
which
It was about
song? Sorry, I kind of blurred out a little bit.
richest man.
Richest.
It was about my grandfather, who's my dad's dad. He wasn't his birth father, but he's the guy who raised him. He's who he knew as his dad. And so it was all those things that he taught him. And so we kind of wanted to pull from that. And so he was writing it about his dad. I was writing about my dad with my dad. And so it just became this song that was just a real feel good song and it came together nice. So,
That's beautiful. It's beautiful.
yeah.
So, are you close with all your family, or
I've got a great relationship with my mom, my dad, and my two sisters. So
were
I
they
think it's.
always supportive of you chasing after your dreams? Well, I mean, you said you're what, 25 now? You've been in Nashville, going there a couple of years now. So, what were your options leaving Coastal? What were you thinking about doing, and why did you decide to go towards country music?
Yeah, so it was as far as like the support of my family, it's been like undying. They're great with that. And the cool part too, my little sister puts out music and my older sister is a better singer than I am, and my little sister's a better singer than I am too. It's just different. It's like that pretty like angelic type voice that they got versus I live with a little more rasp.
That'll be
So
good for you if you need a female on the track.
Yeah, exactly. Or a little back in support for sure. But they got their own vibe, and so I think they just got it. Everyone got it. It was like, all right, this is like what Matt's doing. And so when I was finishing up school, I put Dive Bar out like 3 months before I graduated. Moved back home for like 2 months, and then moved to Florida. And then I met some guys over at this studio down in Clearwater. And then it just evolved into this thing, and we were just making so many songs. And then eventually someone at the studio introduced me to my manager, who's my manager now. He got me in the room with some Nashville people, and it just was like we talked about, it was just organic. It constantly found a new way to work. And I constantly kept feeling like there was something better that I had inside me to create and make happen. And it never slowed down, and it's only speeding up. So I'm just super grateful for the last couple of years and everyone who's played a part in that.
It's awesome. Do you feel like you truly love it?
Oh my God, it's my favorite thing to do in the world, like easily. And that's where I've lost a lot of pressure from like the outside world. Like, so there's this, you know who Mike Studd is?
Name sounds familiar.
He just goes by Mike now, and he's got this song on his latest album. And it starts off, the intro lines are it's essentially, is it the one line that stuck out is, it feels good to wake up and go after something. It became so much less about the perception of who I was and the perception of the art, and it became all about, I love doing this, and I love learning more about it, and I love creating. And so once it became all authentic in my heart and my mind, the music started getting better. And so it just became this thing where it was like, if you make it, you make it. Who cares? You get this one life, and you get to do something, and you pick that it's this thing that you love. How lucky, like how lucky, how much luckier can you be? It's one of those things I feel grateful about. So yeah, in very long-winded fashion, it's what I love to do. So.
I think you have the perfect mindset for it all, and I think that goes back to what we said earlier. You can only control what you can control, and if you don't love it, and if you don't enjoy the process, then you're going to be miserable because there's going to be highs, there's going to be lows. You never know when the right time is going to come, and it's no different than winning the championship. It feels great that night. You're still always going to be happy and excited about it, but then over the course of a couple of days, you're going to sit there and be like, all right, what's next? And you're always going to chase that high. But if you can go into practice every single day and every single songwriting session, and you just enjoy every single session you do, then, like you said, that's when the best product is going to come out. And then I think that also will translate to the people who are listening to the music and seeing you live, as they're going to be like, he's real, he's authentic. I want to be around that person. And I feel like there's so many talented artists. But when people can grab onto you and support you as a person and they feel like you're authentic, then that's when you're going to have the most success.
Yeah. And I don't think you can really be in love with it if you're not being authentic. Because
Sure.
then what are you loving? Some fake version of you that you're making up in your head, then battling this who am I type thing. And I
Sure.
think that's something I struggled with too in the beginning, was I thought like I was dabbling in all different kinds of like melody ideas, music ideas, and genres and all this stuff, just to like, what's cool? What's cool right now? What will people like? And then if I just stripped it back, and like we talked about, just started writing songs about my life and what I've gone through, and it was so much easier. Like, it became more fun. It became cooler to pull things out, and just almost therapeutic. It'd be like I'm talking about my life and in a cool way, in an artistic way.
Are you a comedy fan?
Yeah, comedy's dope.
So it's been interesting. I've always loved comedy growing up. Are you familiar with the show Kill Tony on YouTube?
Yeah.
Okay, so I love that show, and it's been so interesting seeing, like, whenever Bert Kreischer came to Charleston and he brought a bunch of comedians, but Jelly's been touring with him. So Jelly came out and played a few songs, and then of course Hardy was on Bert Kreischer's podcast. But what Tony Hinchcliffe always tells the comedians is be authentic to you and tell stories about you, because then people can connect with you. And I think that's the perfect thing to do with songwriting. Tell stories about you so that way people get to know you, and that's when they're going to fall in love with you.
Yeah, fair. Or hate you. but like you'd rather be
talk about you and they're still going. Here is the funniest thing. I don't know if you. I'm sure you know who Howard Stern is.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's the movie that was about him, and they said, well, the people loved or hated him, they still watched him. And I found out on my social media too, is with the haters, they watch more, they comment more than anybody else. And I'm like, well, that's what I'm going for, is the people watching the comment. I don't care whether you comment something good or bad. I would prefer it to be good. I prefer pleasant exchanges with people. But they're the ones who watch the most. So even though people would be like, oh, I hate this guy, his voice sucks, they're probably still listening to the song.
Yeah, fair. Especially in that world and like the social media, maybe they're not going to Spotify and playing the whole thing a couple a day, but it's they're telling the algorithm on TikTok that it's engaging enough to comment or watch again, or and then it might get pushed to somebody else. So
that's for sure, and especially with social media, when you're putting these songs out and they're sitting there commenting, guess what? They're gonna watch again tomorrow and the next day. That it's gonna get sent out to further other people.
100%.
So are you working on an album yet, or have you only put out a bunch of singles? Have you put out an EP yet? What's your
plan? It's not 100% my decision at this point, but we finished an album and it's amazing. It's like to sit back and I'd listen to it cover to cover. I got all the finals back. It's like 14 or it's like 13 or 14 songs. And we got it A to Z, fully mixed, mastered, and got them all back last week. And I sat down and listened to it, and I was just like, it's great. It's like exactly what I want it to be. And so that's a good feeling, is like, there's never like a perfect answer, but there's not a song on this project where I'm like, maybe that shouldn't go out.
Yeah.
Every one is like, I love this song. This is a great song. It fits perfectly with the story of the album. It all worked out. And so we're doing singles right now and we're gearing up for an album, but obviously build a little bit more traction, get some stuff going behind the socials and then really pump it out from there.
That's awesome. Now, since you're such a big storyteller, do you place all the songs on the album, like in order of telling a story?
Yeah. So once again, that'll probably be something that we have to go through like a process of maybe this, maybe that, and really chop it up with me and my team and my people. But I've got an order that I listen to it, that I put it in, that kind of tells it the way that I want to. So to answer your question, yeah, but not permanent yet. Like, we don't have it exactly ironed out.
Yeah. Is that kind of been an adjustment for you from going from just writing and doing stuff that you want to do, but now also having a team and trying to listen? I mean, and do they more so listen to your opinion or I guess that's kind of tricky.
Yeah, it's definitely like a fluid thing. It's the one thing that I was very big on in the beginning was I just wanted like creative control.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be able to be like, the only thing I really cared about, I like let go the reins on like which order they had to come out in, when picking dates and picking when we do that. I'll let the experts handle that. The only thing that I asked for and that has been honored was that when it comes to writing and choosing the songs and choosing which ones go out, I got control over that. So that's a cool thing.
Yeah, because there's so many hats you have to wear because you're no longer just an artist now. Now you have to be a businessman and you have to think about how, and then you have to negotiate stuff with people. And like you said, they are professional. They've been doing it a long time, but you also want to come across as authentic and do things that you feel like are right. And it's very interesting.
100%. You gotta be able to put your own spin on stuff, even if you're working with the most successful people. Cause like we said, to tie it all in with like the Morgan Wallen thing we were talking about, when you pop up, you gotta have some level of uniqueness. And if you're just cookie cuttering it without putting your own opinion on stuff, then you won't do it.
Yeah. It's been interesting because you see these guys blow up and then and all of a sudden you see some of these other guys start getting radio play, and like you look at their appearance and it's like that person is literally almost a carbon copy of that other person that's famous right now. And you can tell that they're just trying to go after a certain look or a certain sound that is popular. And I'm like, and I feel bad for those guys because they might have some success, but you're never going to be, you know, a mainstream superstar if they're pushing you as you're somebody else.
100%. And it's also, it might not even be that they're doing it on purpose. Like, it could just be that they naturally sound a little bit like this person who's famous, and people immediately paint the copycat of who's trying to be that. So like, I don't ever fault people for that, which is why I said that my favorite compliment is that I've gotten that it's hard to pinpoint someone I sound like, which I love. Like, I don't want to be the copycat or carbon copy.
You can't. And that's the advice I give to everybody, whether you're doing music, dancing, whatever, is just be you, be authentic. And but the problem is with that is you get a lot of pushback because it is different, unique, and people haven't seen it or heard it before. And a lot of times people don't know how to process that. So then they kind of lash out at you. And that's just something you have to learn to live with.
That's also one of those things that would be helped by posting twice a day. Like, if your voice becomes familiar, people are going to give it an extra second or two.
Nobody's going to knock on your front door and they're going to say, Matt, you've been writing these great songs. Yeah. We want you to be a megastar. We'll pay for all the advertising. You'll have millions of followers go on tour. We're going to back you. You have to put the time and the effort in and tell them. You have to knock down the freaking door and tell them, I'm here. And come see me, because what I'm doing is great.
Yeah, I mean, that's what social media is for. You hit the nail on the head there.
It's not just social media, because I think you can also factor in play in going on shows. Are you familiar with Tiger Lily Gold?
No.
Okay, so they've blown up this past 2 years. They've had two radio hits in Nashville, but they've come to Charleston a couple times. We were friends on social media before they came here. But they're doing everything right. And what I mean by that is, like, when they are done with the show, they're sitting there talking to everybody and giving each and every person, you know, respect and talking to them and building relationships with people. And the first time they came, it was a smaller audience. The second time they came, the audience doubled because they treated all those people so nicely. They're going back and telling their friends, you got to come to the show. Like, these girls, they're great and they're talented. So it's not just social media. I think it's also talking to people at shows and building genuine relationships with people.
100%. I agree. And I think I say that when I'm performing, I'll always kind of be like, all right, this is just treat it like a hangout. We're all just hanging out and
absolutely. I'm
gonna get a few songs and hanging after, I'll have a beer or two and come down and chat it out with y'all.
Yeah. And you set the vibe too. People are going to have a good time or a bad time depending upon you and your facial expressions and your tone when you're talking to them.
Yeah. Agreed.
Well, is there anything else you want to plug before we get off of here?
I mean, I guess we've talked about it a few times. I'd just say the socials, we're going to get those pumping and going here soon. So, I mean, they just Matt Oakley Music on every platform, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube and all that.
I'll be posting this on YouTube, and I'll be sharing clips everywhere. And I'll be sure to tag you in all your socials whenever I post this.
Sweet. Sounds good.
All right, brother. Wasn't it great talking to you? Can't wait to continue following your career and hopefully come to Charleston soon, and we'll check out a show.
Yes, sir. Sounds like a plan. Thank you for the time.
Absolutely, bro. Talk soon. Have a good one.
Take care.